today on Real Radio.
Yeah, I'm born again. I gave my heart to Jesus. And you don't follow him. You just walk away. You say you know him, but your life doesn't show that you know him. You see, Jesus, if you make a confession, I know God. Yes, I know God. Do you believe in? Oh, I believe in Jesus. Well, that's not enough. Do you trust him? To believe is to trust him.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called A Good Man Gets Saved, continues a series called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the amazing journey of the first century apostles. Their ministry began in Jerusalem, but through the promptings of the Holy Spirit, the church began to spread throughout the other regions of the world. In the message called The Gospel Goes to Africa from Acts chapter 8, verses 25 through 40, we learned about an Ethiopian eunuch that the apostle Philip meets in the desert. And through Philip's teachings, the Ethiopian accepts Christ, and after Philip baptizes him, he goes on his way worshiping God and spreading the gospel throughout Africa. Now from chapter 9, verses 1 through 9, we'll see the miraculous conversion of a good man, Saul of Tarsus, to a born-again man, Paul the Apostle. Today, on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that Paul was a man running from God. He was also a man who was convicted by God. And now we see Paul as a man broken by God. And as Paul opens his eyes after the flash of light, he sees nothing. So, having been blinded, he's led to Damascus by his companions, where he is shut off from the world and eats and drinks nothing for 3 days. And now, continuing his lesson called A Good Man Gets Saved, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Isn't that interesting? Jesus said that he would come to you via the Holy Spirit. And the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in your life as a believer, Paul couldn't understand that God has set his throne up in your heart. And that's a wonderful thought. And it was absolute mystery to Paul. You're persecuting me. Look what he says in verse 5. And Saul said, "Who are you, Lord?" That's a great question. Who are you? Listen. I mentioned to you this morning that if you're a good man or a good woman, you still need to be saved because you can't get there by being good. I mentioned to you that if you're an atheist or an agnostic, you need to listen up. I want you to consider something right now. Saul here represents a man who is religious but alienated from God. But look at his response. You see, he doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. If you would have asked him on the street, "Saul, what do you think about Jesus Christ?" "I believe he's a lunatic. I believe that he's a weirdo and he's generated this sect. And besides that, he's dead, even though a lot of people called Christians are running around saying that he's alive. And I'm going to eradicate this thing from the earth." That's what he would have said. And he thought that he was doing God a service. Well, listen to this. He says, "Who are you, Lord?" He sees that the light and the power is so grand and so powerful that he addresses this person as Lord. But he says, "Who are you? Why don't you ask if you're woman enough, if you're man enough? Why don't you ask right now in your heart, in your mind?" In fact, you could be so bold as to say, "God, I don't really believe that you're for real. Or I confess I don't even know who or what you are. But I'm going to ask you, who are you?" Will you at least ask? Will you at least make yourself come to that point and simply say, "Who are you? God, if you're for real, if you're actually there, who are you?" Can you ask? You see, you feel a little uncomfortable with that, don't you? God is speaking to you and he's saying, "It's time to be real. It's time to be a real man. It's time to be a real woman and ask me who I am. Who am I?" And so Saul says, "Who are you?" And look what the response is. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Get this down in your thinking. Make no mistake about it. He says, I am Jesus. In the Greek language, he said, Ego emi Jesus. And you go, well, big deal. It is a big deal. Want to know why? In the Hebrew language, it's the same one that said, I am that I am in the burning bush in Exodus. Paul knew the scripture. Who are you? Ego emi Jesus. I am Jesus. Translated in the Hebrew language, Paul spoke Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Paul heard this. Who are you, Lord? He says, the one, the eternal salvation of God. You don't think that impacted his life? Wait a minute. You're the one I don't believe in. Well, you have a choice. I'm here in front of you in awesome glory and light, power. You're convicted. You know I'm real. You're persecuting me. Or you can follow your little dogmatic path. Time to make a choice. And here's where the choice comes in. Listen to what Jesus says in verse 6. It says, so he, that is Saul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Hey, that's conversion. He believes in God, so do you. But have you bowed your knee? Are you saved? Have you given your heart to Jesus Christ? Well, you know, how do I know? Because in your heart, when you yield to him, you'll say, what do you want me to do? And in you will be a burning to do what God wants you to do. Jesus, confirming Paul's commitment, challenges his will. Because when you're born again, your will gets laid on the back shelf. You understand what I'm saying? It's his will be done, not your own. And so Jesus says, well, you know what, Saul, if you don't mind, I'd like you to stand up. And if it's not too big of a problem, can you go into Jerusalem? Are you kidding? Lord, what do you want me to do? Jesus says, get up. Get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do. What if Saul said, all right, and gets up and heads off to Disneyland instead? Says, okay, yeah, right. Does his own thing. Yeah, I'm born again. I gave my heart to Jesus, and you don't follow him. You just walk away. You say you know him, but your life doesn't show that you know him. You see, Jesus, if you make a confession, I know God. Yes, I know God. Do you believe in? Oh, I believe in Jesus. Well, that's not enough. Do you trust him? To believe is to trust him, to follow him. Do you follow him? Do you love him? If you love him, you'll follow him. Jesus said, Saul, get up and go. He doesn't give any explanation. He gets up and he goes. A test of the will. And so, it says here, verse 7, and the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And in verses 6 through 9, literally, we see a broken man. A man who had been running from God, a man who was convicted by God, and now a man who is broken by God. Look what happens here. The men who journeyed with him. By law, they had to stay behind him. We mentioned that earlier. As they're going along, the guards were behind him. Now Paul gets knocked off his pony. He's groping around. And I'm wondering, listen to this scripture in Deuteronomy. I'm wondering, because Paul knew this scripture, what he was thinking. He opens his eyes and he can't see a thing. Jesus is gone. The atmosphere now is normal. He opens his eyes, he can't see a thing. He's confused. The word was said, get up and get into Damascus. That's it. Listen to Deuteronomy. It says here, the Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart. And you shall grope at noonday as a blind man gropes in darkness, and you shall not escape me. You think Paul knew that scripture? Paul knew the Old Testament like the back of his hand. Listen to this. Later on in Acts chapter 22 and Acts chapter 26, Paul said it was at noon that the Lord interrupted his life. Isn't that heavy? He's sitting there thinking, and look, he goes on. It says in verse 9, and as he was there for 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat or drink. You want to know why? He's sick. He's sin sick. He's sitting there thinking, wait a minute, what has happened? The one that I have been fighting, the one that I've been resisting, the one that I didn't think was real, the one that I thought was a flake, turned out to be true. Not only true, but he's the Messiah of Israel, the only way to heaven. And I've been fighting him all along the way. I've been making excuses. I've been resisting him. I've been pushing him off. And I've been killing those who tell me about him. How could I have been so wrong? He was stubborn. He was proud. He was self-willed. He was strong, man. But let me tell you, there's one greater than you. There's one stronger than you. There's one smarter than you. There's one who has lived longer than you. The scripture teaches that it is Jesus and him alone who is eternal. The scripture says in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that he is eternal. Jesus has never had a beginning and he'll never have an ending. He's God come down in human form. And Saul began to see this, and he sat there and his tears became his drink for 3 days, and he was blinded. Why was he blinded? God had to shut out the world and speak to him. You can shut your Bibles and listen to this. This week, I get a call, not knowing, don't know. Serious situation up in LA. Get in the car. It's pretty late at night. Drive up there. What's the deal? What's the story? There's a man, very sick, possibly dying. Doctors give him 45% chance, you know. And I don't know the man. But you see, when all this stuff came down, they, of course, immediately put him on IV and knocked him out. The pain was tremendous. Went into surgery. He's out. And when you go to something like that, you're concerned for the family because they're hurting and you want to comfort them. But listen, and you know this, as a pastor, you want to comfort them, but that's not why you're there. Do you understand? I don't want to sound cold, but that was not why I was there. My heart began to be troubled. You always know, you're always nervous when you say, did he know the Lord? Does he know the Lord? I think so. I cringe on the inside when I hear I think so. They're not letting anybody in. Isolation. We get on the phone and we want to go in there. You can't go in. I'm a pastor, I'm coming in. And they have to let you in unless it's a contamination problem or something. And we give the gospel into the ear of a man that cannot respond. Tubes hooked up every which way. And it just drives me crazy. It's just too much because you know what? Satan loves that stuff. We're sitting there between heaven and hell, Lord, and we're given the gospel. He can't respond. Maybe hopefully we're praying that he can respond on the inside. And there's a moment, you know, it's right in the balance. You don't know what's going on. And it's almost, and I know the one who needs to hear what I'm saying the most won't believe in this, but it's almost like you could hear demons dancing and singing and having a great time. You know, the Bible says when one sinner comes to Jesus Christ, the angels of heaven rejoice and party over your salvation. Well, I wonder about hell. And I told those people, I said, listen, the moment he comes around, you rehearse this again. You ask him again. You do this again. Because you know what? My secondary thing there is to comfort, but it's not my primary thing. My primary thing is to get this guy into the kingdom of God. He's got to be faced with this choice to say yes or no. And let me tell you, you may never have the chance. You may be get hit by that train or by that car, and you're thinking, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll think about it later. You may never have the opportunity to think about it later. That car could come across, that heart could explode, and you're on IV, you're out like a light, and you can't even make a decision, and you must. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto every man once to die, and then the judgment. You can make a choice for Jesus right now like Saul did and get your name written down in heaven. You don't have to wait. And I drove home from that hospital just praying, Lord, may those words that look like they fell upon deaf ears have gotten through. If you want to be a man, if you want to be a woman, you need to give your heart to Jesus Christ. We don't want your money. We don't want your service. We don't want any of your actions. We just want you to come sit, open a Bible, and listen and learn. And let him do it in you and through you, whatever he wants you to do. But if you cannot today say, you know what, God, I don't understand. I don't know all this stuff. But who are you, Lord, and what do you want me to do? If you can't say that this morning, then keep your hand down. But I want to encourage you, taste and see, the scripture says, the Lord, he is good. Let's pray together. Father, it's in Jesus' name that we come before you, Lord, this morning. And Lord, we ask you right now that by your Spirit, you may have been convicting people. There may have been a man or a woman here today that's angry at these things. Just like Saul. And now there's that bit of fear, and the Holy Spirit is saying to you, are you ready to meet me? If you died at this moment, what would you do before Jesus Christ? How does that make you feel right now? If you can think of one sin that you're guilty of, I don't care how minuscule or how great it is, if you can think of one sin that may not be covered under the blood of Christ because you haven't come to him, you're in deep trouble. God does not grade on a curve. It's one sin and you're out. That's why Jesus died for all the sin of the world. If you would like to say yes to Jesus Christ and you're not going to be ashamed about it, you can slip your hand up right now and I'll see your hand and you can put your hand down. And then so you're not surprised when the service is over, we're going to ask you to go to the prayer room and get a free Bible. But we don't want you to run up here. We don't want to make a big deal out of it. Nobody will see. If you would like to accept Jesus this morning, like Saul did, then slip your hand up right now, wherever you're at, and you're saying yes to him. And put it up high so I can see. No one's looking around. Don't look at your neighbor and wonder if he's putting his hand up. What do you say? Let me ask you this. Keep praying, Christians. Are you here this morning and you don't know Jesus, but you're willing to just ask in your heart, who are you? You should do that right now. You should ask, Lord, who are you? You may have been a believer, but are you a Christian? I'm going to ask all those who are believers in Jesus Christ, you're born again and you know it. You know your name's written down in heaven. And listen closely. You've been backslidden. It could be blatantly or it could be in your heart. I'm going to ask you right now as you recommit your life to Jesus Christ to stand up right now wherever you're at. You've been wayward and you're going to recommit. God bless you. Anyone else? Nobody's looking around. Don't look around right now. Right on. God bless you. You'd like to recommit your life to Jesus Christ right now. Praise the Lord. Those of you who are Christians, you love Jesus, and you know your name is written down in heaven. Why don't you stand up right now? Awesome. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, standing in this sanctuary, Father, are your people. And Lord, there's coming a day that your word says that you will separate the sheep from the goats. And Lord, we tremble at the thought of that verse. And Lord, if people are trembling right now at the thought of a mere little tiny man drawing the line in the sand, then Lord, how terrible of a day it will be when you come back and no one has chosen you. Father, we love you and we worship you. And we rejoice in your holy name. Without opening your eyes, sit down right now. Heavy stuff. I know Christians get a real charge when they get to stand up and confess Jesus like they just did by standing. But there may have been those around you that couldn't stand and they're uncomfortable right now and they'll never be back here again. But you know what? Jesus loves them. And this day you'll never forget. And I pray that the Lord will not let you rest day or night until you come to know his awesome love. In Jesus' name.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a message called A Good Man Gets Saved. And like Paul, it's not enough to know Bible scripture, but to also have a conversion of the heart. A Good Man Gets Saved. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, if you just made a decision for Christ and you'd like to get a hold of somebody to talk to, maybe to help you walk through the next few steps, head over to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and hit that contact tab because we would really like to know about your decision for Christ. Maybe you've made that decision for Christ and you've got a few questions. Why don't you get in contact with us? Hit the contact tab at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You could also check out that Know God video that we've got at our website. That's K-N-O-W, Know God. If you've just made that decision and you'd like to know a little bit more, then head on over to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and hit that Know God tab. Now, you know, as we're heading into the Apostle Paul's ministry, we're finding out there really is a lot we can learn from his teachings. His powerful conversion brought the message of salvation outside the walls of Jerusalem and into the hearts of the people from other nations as well. And if you've accepted Christ for the first time and you really want to learn more, or you've got some questions regarding your faith in Christ, we'd like to invite you to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. There's a tab that's called Know God, also a tab called Devotions, and also past episodes of Pastor Jack's messages that you can click on real easily. A variety of tools and resources are also available when you go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You know, it's no secret that children of all ages are being exposed to all kinds of negative criticism about being a Christian. In Pastor Jack's book of the month called Keeping Your Kids on God's Side, written by Natasha Crane, there are 40 different conversations you can choose from to help your kids build a lasting faith. The responses are clear and easy to understand that your children can use as they spend time in school with friends or online. Again, the book is called Keeping Your Kids on God's Side, written by Natasha Crane. You can always pick up the book of the month every month at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you'd like to get a hold of us, you can write this number down and call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you could write to us if you'd like, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And don't forget, we have other ways that you can connect with us, like Facebook, Instagram, and the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. Or you can visit our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Contact tab. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.